Okay, so just to remind everyone here that we want to give Dr. Hay a chance to explain what he's done in terms of the science in particular, but also other aspects of what he's done. So please, can you allow him to speak without interruptions? As I said, I have the right to just cancel the session if there's too much noise and interruption. And I just wanted to state a couple of other things. So first of all, that we didn't know the story that was going to break over the last couple of days when he accepted the invitation to come and speak to us. So we didn't know this story beforehand. In fact, he had sent me the slides he was going to show in this session, and it did not include any of the work that he's now going to talk about. It was sort of preclinical data, but nothing involving human embryos that were implanted. And I should also state that we're in a venue. We have very generous hosts, University of Hong Kong. And our hosts have a strong tradition of allowing free speech. And so we are complying with that tradition of free speech. So anyway, I would like to, if you can hear me, ask Jungkook Hay to come to the stage and present his work. I don't know where he is, so hence the... Okay.
Okay, thank you. First, I must apologize that this result leaked unexpectedly, taken away from the community of the full data being presented immediately in a scientific venue. And through a peer review process engaged before this conference. So this study.
It's very disturbing for everyone here if you're taking photographs. You stand still, you've already taken photographs, you don't need to take any more.
Okay. Thank you.
You've been warned.
Okay, so this study has been submitted to a scientific journal for review. I also thank the Associated Press, who we engaged months before the twins' birth, out of a commitment to the accurate reporting the study's outcome from many points of view. I also thank my university, although they are unaware of the study's conduct. So Winnie Herbert, I should also thank you for your statement now and your wisdom that shared with me, as well as the community for discussing this data and providing this forum. I'll give an overview of our data, focus on human and monkeys. Despite wonderful progress in HIV therapy and access to this therapy, new infections remain three times higher than the UN AIDS 2020 target. So HIV remains a top 10 cause of death in several countries, in particularly developing countries. For uninfected children born by an HIV positive mother, who now make up a large percentage of births in areas of Southern Africa, the risk of being infected by HIV in the first few months of life is many, many times higher than other babies. This is a serious unmet need, as an infection's severity is often made even worse by discrimination. So a copy of a natural protective antibody against HIV infection is carried by as much as about 10% of the population in several European countries. This antibody leads to the first functional cure of HIV and decades of clinical trials, making this natural small deletion in CCR5 gene one of most studied variations. And the CCR5 gene are one of the most. We first explored the impact of CCR5 gene knockout in mice to investigate multi-generation effect. Editing was efficient, as expected. We established a third generation CCR5 lung mice, which we confirmed by Western blood and flow cytometry. Tissue pathology was normal in heart, liver, lung, and stomach. Two common behavior assessment showed no difference. We then assess whether this set should get RNA against the human CCR5 gene could be designed. So we assessed 7. I highlight one that caught at exactly the start of data 32 mutation. It has an MIT specificity score above threshold, predictive of having no off-target activity. A few previous publications has assessed the same or similar gap RNA in multi-cell type, including non-viable embryos. SG4 induced the most efficient editing activity in a cell line and 3PN human embryos. Since this target site is conserved in the monkey genome, we could use the monkey as an animal model to assess the sgRNA further. We found injecting the Cas9 closer to fertilization promoted the most efficient editing efficiency, consistent with the Cas9 require 10 to find the target loci and its degradation over 10. The rate of fertile eggs forming blood cells was not affected by exposure to Cas9, which we observed across experiments. So sequencing of the blood cells quadrant confirmed earlier Cas9 injection also reduced the mosaicism. To look more closely on the mosaicism, we also sequenced every individual cell in several embryos. Editing appeared to occur at the 1, 2, 3 cell stage. On the assumption that Cas9 degrades quickly and require 10 to find the right target, we explored a strategy to reduce the mosaicism by delivering a second injection of Cas9 to an embryo at the two-cell stage. The development of eggs to the blood cells was not impaired. We expanded the sample size, which confirmed this previous observation. We still observed the variation across parents and the cycles. We then looked to see if this protocol could translate to human embryos. We found, as others have reported, the Cas9 protein was the most efficient delivery format. Lowering the dose compared to the monkey embryo also improved the efficacy. Upon the advice I received after presenting early results at the February 2017, the UC Berkeley Genome Editing Workshop, we edited non-viable embryos and established two embryonic stem cell names. So both are bioanalytic lockout and the karyotypes are normal. Embryonic stem cell marker expression was normal by staining and the flow cytometry. This embryonic stem cell also found all three germ lines during the 14-day EB experiment, which is a marker of safety. Another serious safety concern is off-target. Embryo editing targets a single or a few cell stage of life. Any off-target would pose very serious consequences and extend potential through the whole body. In adult gene therapy, off-target are expected, but a less healthy problem. We assessed off-target initially by single-cell whole genome sequencing of embryo prior to the implantation. We used the isothermal MDA amplification method to minimize the false positive rate and for unbiased coverage. The Milton Pauf lab used the same approach, which take a step further by sequencing the parent genome to detect off-target risk sites that exist only for each parent and a particular embryo, but not in the reference genome. We create a pool of off-target risk sites by first collecting all any sites mentioned in previous publication. We add the genome sites for an unbiased assessment of a potential cleavage site. And in silico prediction, such as the MIT CRISPR design, both the original and the 2018 updated version. Finally, we import the parent genome, which allows phasing to improve sensitivity and detect the novel risk sites unique to each embryo, which may emerge from inherited indel or SNPs. So all these loci found a personalized pool on the order of 10,000 spots per embryo. We use whole genome sequencing to assess for the spots and validate any findings by Sanger sequencing. I will review genome sequencing data with the data on the Lulu and Lana as focus and end. Of the potential cleavage sites identified by the genome-wide unbiased digenome AC, none was observed in the whole genome sequencing data. and no activity was observed at the risk site identified by the 2018 version of MIT technology, MIT CRISPR design software and the original version. We explore off-target in the HESC cyanine generated from edited embryo. Although we didn't have access to embryo with the parental donor's genome, we identified one potential off-target. This off-target is in the intergenic region, although we cannot confirm whether this is an inheritance or due to editing. So here you can see the editing efficiency across 19 viable embryos from volunteers. So we performed PGD whole genome sequencing across the embryo and didn't identify the off-target sites. So in one embryo, we identified a 6 kb deletion at the on-target sites. It did not affect any gene but CCR5. The CCR5 gene's distance from other genes protect against the risk of large deletion. We detect the large deletion by assessing for the chimeric reads and the visual confirmation. Now I will focus on the Lulu and Lala's genomic data. We sequenced the genome of both parents to confirm the target size conservation and to support off-target detection. The mother was HIV negative, the father positive, with undetectable viral load. So ICSI and the sperm washing was used to prevent transmission. At day 5, so we have few cells were sampled from blood site for PGD. We follow on these results during the pregnancy by cell-free DNA after the mother declined an amniocentesis. So Lulu and Lala were born normal and healthy, with upcoming score 8 and 9. After birth, we sequenced several different tissues. So in this Mark and Grace first IVF cycle, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis found two blood sites were edited. One was a bionic frameshift lockout, which should shorten the CCR5 protein, similar to the natural protective variation. Another has an U3 deletion in one allele. The deletion expect to destabilize local protein structure in the nearby HIV binding sites. The parents were informed of implantation of this in related to HIV infection and remind them the option to leave the trial without implantation or to choose the wild type embryos. The couple elected to implant this embryo to start a 2-embryo pregnancy. In addition to the Sanger data, we also reported to the volunteer whole genome sequencing data. The reads cover that more than 80% of the genome. The whole genome sequencing identified one off-target in the MEG-based intergenic region, far from other genes, with no non-coding RNA and transcription factor binding sites. The volunteers were informed of the risk of posed by the existence of one potential off-target, and they decided to implant. After the mother declined aminosynthesis, serial cell-free DNA of blood test didn't observe the intergenic off-target from PGD. So another cell-free DNA test found no larval cancer gene mutation. After birth, the deep sequencing of the cord blood, which is primarily the baby's blood, confirmed editing pattern observed during PGD and cell-free DNA. Sanger sequencing also confirmed this observation. After birth, both MySeq deep sequencing and Sanger sequencing did not detect intergenic off-target observed during the PGD. This suggests it was an artifact of a single cell amplification or a mosaic off-target that happened to occur in the few trophoblast cell sampled for PGD. For whole genome sequencing, we did a 100x cord blood and 30x on the placental. No off-target were observed genome-wide, neither were large deletion. We will continue to assess the effect of editing in the genes, including testing a blood sample for susceptibility to HIV infection at the P3 biosafety lab. We also further investigate off-target effects and the mosaicisms across multiple tissues, and plan to monitor the genes healthy for the next 18 years with the hope that they will consent as adult for continued monitoring and support. Thank you.
Okay, so what we're going to do is have a little panel discussion, just the three of us, to make sure that the details of the science are well understood before we open it up to some general questions. Okay. So Matt is up here to help me with this. So Matt, do you want to start or shall I start? Okay. You obviously, you chose to work with CCR5 because you felt that this was a valid first gene to target with this approach. But do we really know enough about CCR5 and its function? Because as you said, that there are naturally occurring mutations, there are many, probably millions of people who naturally have mutations in the CCR5 gene. They're mostly Northern European, or that's thought to be the origin of it. It's very infrequent, at least the Delta 32 mutation is very infrequent in China, for example. So that could be that could reflect either that it never spread here from Northern Europe, or that it's selected against in China. So it's known that having mutation in CCR5 protects against HIV infection. But does it predispose to other complications? So West Nile virus, we know there's some evidence to suggest that increased that. And then just a long question, I'm sorry, but well, answer that one first. What about other things? There's also a suggestion that maybe influenza, so patients with CCR5 mutations may be more susceptible to severe effects of influenza, which would be bad in this part of the world.
Okay, so we choose the CCR5. It's for multiple reasons. So first, HIV. It's a lethal disease in several developing countries. And also this HIV exposed but uninfected children now became a new global challenge. And their study in Zambia, also study in China, show that those HEU children may get affected from 6 months to 18 months in this 1 year period with a possibility of 0.5 to 2.5%. So that is a significant number compared to the kids in general. And so for this gene, we have studied for decades, and there's multiple clinical trials on that. And also for the Western layer and other potential side effect of this, so during the inferred consent, it was written down. To inform them will be West Nile virus, not infections. And also in your 18 years old, even longer monitoring program, there's the West Nile virus detection regularly.
And do you want to follow up on that? Well, shall I? I want to follow up a bit more on that. So the CCR5 obviously must have a function in the immune system where it normally operates, which is nothing to do with HIV. The immune system, we know, has effects throughout the body, and that includes